Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a new year. Today is Wednesday, January 4th. We're back with you. Tori's still out on vacation, on break, and we wish her a good time. I'm back, however, because I've been gone for 2 weeks and I'm going crazy without being behind the mic. So today I'm being joined by the beautiful Leah Pelka yet once again.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Leah.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Did I call you Leah? Or Leah, did I?
You just called me Leah, but I'm not sure if you've ever called me Leah, so.
No, well, maybe.
I'm okay with either.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, in Hebrew, it's actually Leah.
Right, and then Princess Leia recently passed, so it's like a nice tribute.
There you go. There you go.
But always glass half full.
For everybody else, it's Leah, so there you go.
There you go.
So we have a wonderful guest in the studio, a very handsome man we're going to get to in just a second. But let's just catch up a little bit on the holiday. You were here just before we went on break. You went back home.
I did.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was so cold. And it's nice to experience Christmas as like in the cold, like in the wintertime. You know what I mean? It's nice to feel that. And I took Sean home for the first time. So he went to Alabama with me. And he had so much fun. It was amazing. And he got to experience the girls for Christmas and everything. So we had a blast.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was a great trip. How about you? What did you do?
What did I do? Not much. I mean, I stayed around here. Just participated in the holiday, I guess, and in the cheers and everything, but didn't really do much.
Did you do anything for New Year's?
No.
I didn't either. I'm so geriatric. I'm like in bed at 9 o'clock. I'm like, who cares? I'll kiss you in the morning.
I know. Who
like,
cares about midnight? You know?
And it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think I've ever really done that. I'm like, why would I stay up just to be able to? No, I'm good. Like, I'll see it tomorrow morning when everyone
exactly.
else does.
So you had a snowy Christmas?
We didn't. It was just really cold. It rained some a little bit. It's not good enough for snowing just yet.
Yeah.
Plus, we've been having a bit of a drought. Like, you heard Tennessee was on fire, so it's a little bit warmer there right now.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was,
you're
it was
a Southern girl, right?
I am. Born and raised.
In
Alabama. So roll tide to my Alabama fans out there, because, and my Auburn fans, where y'all at? Y'all lost last night. I ain't saying, but I'm saying.
Who did they lose to?
Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, the game wasn't even relevant. It doesn't even matter. They lost.
So you just know that. That's all that's important to you.
Pretty much. I wish for that on my birthday, and look at God.
That's right. Happy birthday,
Leah.
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Happy New
Year to you,
Sam. So when was your birthday?
January 1st. See, I don't even see the point of staying up for my
How
birthday
cool is
either.
That? I mean,
it's really cool because,
right?
To be honest with you, every single year my friends were going out anyway. So for me, it was just like, all right, let's just bring a cake then. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I never put pressure on my friends for my birthday ever. Like, I don't care if they remember it or not. Like, I love my friends, but y'all got enough things to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, the first of the year, isn't that the coolest thing? I think the first day of the year.
It really is. It really is. It's super organized.
I mean,
you know
like
me.
You
I like to be on
plan
time.
It to be.
And I'm real OCD. So it's like, I'm going to start on calendar year. Like, the, when my
there
birthday,
you
there you go. That's from day one. From day one, I've been the same.
Awesome. I didn't really do much, but I felt actually the break was a little too long this time. I talked to a couple of people, said the same thing. It just felt like the holiday went on forever this year.
Oh my God.
Right?
I totally agree with that. Here's the thing. I went home for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I was like, I'm just tired of looking at my family. Like, I love y'all. But this is too much
Alabama
but
that's
for
enough,
me.
Right?
I didn't. I moved away to not be here, and I sit and I felt like the days go on longer there too for some reason, because there's just less to do.
Right.
So I'm just sitting there. Like, the one day that was okay was when Alabama played, because that was a real busy day. Other than that, it just felt like there were 48 hours in every day, and I was
really?
Like, "Really?
Wow." That's why you're here in California.
I got to be busy. I have to work, and everything was shut down. I have my other programs going, and God knows I couldn't get a hold of anybody. I was like, these holidays be tripping up my business, and I don't like it. If you, and if with my money, look,
yeah, right.
Celebrate another time.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, I wanted to ask you, you were on social media, you were teasing something new. Do you want to, like, can you talk about it at
all?
Oh,
that's what I was talking about, the other company that I'm working with.
I mean, are you ready to announce it yet?
Yeah, I'm so ready to announce it.
So why don't you go ahead? Let us know, because you can't. I mean, I'm dying of curiosity now.
I want to build you one. So I build bots now with a guy named Josh Bocanegra.
You build bots?
He is. Mm-hmm,
what are bots?
They go inside of your Facebook Messenger, and it allows your celebrity friends or companies to interact better with you, like the White House has a bot already. And we built one. We partner with Christina Milian, who is an amazing person. She's an amazing woman. And we built her bot, and now we've worked with some other celebrities, which I think I can say them. Like, I'm just saying, if you love rap, you should hang out.
Because, really?
Yeah,
that's
because,
awesome.
I mean, there's a lot of drama in the LBC, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of his lyrics.
So, in other words, I can talk to a celebrity through, like, a personal line or something?
Right.
Like,
on my birthday, I actually launched mine. You can ask questions. It's interactive. You can shop. You get the latest news on them. You get pictures. You get videos. You can get autographs. You can sometimes even buy to talk to them, Skype with them and stuff.
Yeah.
So we've made it to where the celebrities actually have a control and a say, and they don't have to ignore all the DMs now. They can talk to people and give them the information that they want to have.
Wow.
It's like a mini interview and everything. It's taking over a website and an app and putting it right in your messenger.
Wow.
So you don't even have to
cool
your
is that?
With it.
Wow, very cool,
Lee.
I'm proud of you.
It's actually Josh that invented all that. He just taught. I was gracious. Yeah. He was gracious enough to teach me.
Yeah, but you know what? There's always got to be a woman in the picture. Otherwise, the guys just lose sight of what the hell they're doing. You know,
it's really
funny. Can tell you that there is a good woman behind every man, successful man.
I feel like that's the case. He and I are such good friends, and we work so well together. Because, like, the thing is, what I love most about Josh is he grew up. He has a great mom, and she's here. Actually, I'm gonna go see him right after this, and a sister. And he's real respectful of women and in general. So he'll look at me and he'll say, "What do you think about this?" You know what I mean?
Right.
And I really feel like he's not a boss, or he's more of a mentor and a guide and a good friend. So it's like you can't luck up anymore.
That's true. Yeah, you hit the jackpot there.
Yeah.
The mother load.
I sure did.
Yeah.
I shouted. I love you, Josh. Awesome. I love you, New York.
Well, we'll have Leah back, of course, as guest and co-host and stuff. But I want to bring in our guest right now who's sitting patiently. And, you know what? Hold on just a second. I did want to bring up the fact that Janet Jackson just had a baby. Did you know she was pregnant? At 50. She's 50.
Look, I got two kids. I would not want to start over at 50. What do you mean? I am tired at 50. At 50, I want to be in tropical paradise on their dollars. What? No,
yeah.
They need to be having babies themselves.
I know.
Like, God love you and God bless you, Janet. But, like, in my head, I'm just like, I mean.
You're done at 50, right?
Before 50. Yeah. What do you mean? Like, I'm contemplating cutting it off this year. What do you mean? Like,
there you go.
50.
I'm done,
that's
right?
I need my grandbabies. But, I mean, God bless you, Janet. Congratulations.
Yeah, awesome. It's 50, you know. I mean, if you can do it, why not, you know?
I mean,
it's funny because I was, I know people in their 50s who have kids, and I thought, I wouldn't mind having another kid now, but people are saying, man,
but
you can't believe
is,
how hard it is.
Yeah, for you, it's different. For me, as a female carrying a baby, it's so different.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to think about, like, that's kind of what I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
that's true. The issues of having
carrying,
that and, like, nursing the baby afterwards and stuff like that. Like, all the things
that's
that
mommies
have to
do. The man only gets to enjoy the fruit of it.
Yeah,
you're there for
takeoff and landing. But,
exactly.
Like, the whole flight period, you miss, which is the worst part. You know
we
what I mean?
Fall asleep,
yeah,
right?
You're not there for that. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, folks, we're joined this morning by Mr. Phil Atkins. Welcome to the show, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course. I can tell you're excited and you're happy to be here. And we couldn't be happier that you're happy. You know, it's all about being happy in this place.
It is. That's
the
happiest. I can't say that he's
place.
Like the nicest guy in the world, but I can say he's like from the beginning when you introduced yourself to now, he's just the nicest, most
nicest
positive,
guy, right?
Upbeat person.
Thank you. Very
I've
polite.
Ever met in my life.
Very,
yeah.
I know. Amazing.
Thank you very much. You're so amazing. Welcome. Listen to the thank you. He's even happy to thank me. Like,
right.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I don't get that every day. I mean,
well, see, and you're destined to become a big star, I think, if I read correctly based on what they sent about you and stuff. So you're an actor.
Yes.
And you act in what, film, TV, both, everything?
Everything, both. I like everything. I like film, TV, commercials, internet production, stage. Everything goes. I mean, if you're an actor and you truly love acting, you love the art, you love the craft, you really don't, you're an artist.
Right.
There's some people that only do it to make money, but that's not me. I love the craft, so I really participate in everything.
Wow, that's nice. Cool. So I mean, so you must be like a diehard actor. I mean, for you, it must have been like, this is the only thing I'm going to do in my life, right?
Yeah. I knew at a very early age that this was something that I wanted to do, and it was because I always was happy doing it. I've never had the happiness that I feel when I'm acting at anything else.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. There are other things that I do enjoy that are fun to do, but in terms of giving me that happiness, that satisfaction, making me smile, the only thing that really does that for me is acting.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That, I mean, Leah, when you were young, did you know what you wanted to do? I mean, did you think about it?
Listen, the only thing I knew that I wanted to do was not a 9-to-5 and everything. Something that everyone else wasn't doing. Like,
right.
I wanted to go. I told my father, he said, what do you want to do when you grow up? I said, I want to make the most money possible doing the least work possible. And look at God. Here I go doing it right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So there you go. So, yeah, I mean, I knew that. But I have a question for you.
Yes.
So the one thing that I think about in acting, because I'm not an actress, is the mental preparation or like the physical preparation people have to undergo. Because you've seen some dramatic transformations during movies, right?
Mm. Right.
You know, where people have to act totally different than their character. What do you have to do to get in character?
It really depends on the role that you're playing. Mm-hmm. But if let's say that you're playing a someone that's still alive, you're doing some sort of like biography, you really have to study that person. You have to study their behavior. You have to study how they talk, how they walk, how they hold their fork, how they dress, how they comb their hair.
That's right? Super detailed. He said, hold their fork.
Yeah.
You really have to
Into the character,
yeah,
right?
You have to do your best to become that person. If you can meet with them and talk with them, that helps as well. Learn about their background, their childhood, their education,
right?
How they got into what they're doing, their pain, their good times, their bad times. You really have to do everything that you can to become that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's if you're playing like someone that's still alive. Let's say that you're playing something that would be a little bit difficult to do.
Like, what if you have like a wild, crazy, fictional heroin addict? You know, because I remember there was that one actor who dramatically lost all that weight. He played in another, I can't even think of his name right now, but he lost so much weight for the movie with, it was a boxing movie, and he played the guy's little brother, and he was a heroin addict. Mm. He was so skinny, like losing all that weight and having to go insane. Like,
yeah, that's one of the difficult parts. If you really get into your acting, like there's some actors that like literally become their characters, like Daniel Day-Lewis is one of them, where you really, you know, they do everything. Like, there are certain things you kind of want to step back from and not go into because it's too heavy.
Right.
But people like that, you know, they become them. Like, if you're going to become he's a heroin addict, I wouldn't necessarily start using heroin.
Right.
No.
But I've heard that, though. Angelina Jolie secluded herself from a bunch of her friends one time that where she was shooting with, and they all thought she was mean, but she said, if I get to know you, I'll be nice to you, and I can't play my role.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like there are people who really do.
Yeah, you're when you love your craft, you take your craft seriously, you go to those places. Some you might, you know, try heroin, something
like
that.
Is that emotionally exhausting for you though to have to go there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're you okay for me. I can't speak for every actor, but for me, you're gonna have to use your own pain. Like if there's something that's traumatically happening to that character in that moment, maybe that has not happened to you, so you would have to use your own emotional pain, something that you can compare to that moment that happened to you, and you go back into the past and you drop those emotions to get you there. And it's very exhausting. It's very painful because you relive that traumatic experience, and so it kind of does wear on you a little bit.
That's true, yeah, and that's what like method acting and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see, and that's what I think that I do think that acting requires quite a bit of talent because. And I consider myself talented, but I could never act. I don't think I could be somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So so when someone is able to do that in with multiple characters, you know, that takes talent, I think. You know?
Talent is part of it, but I think it also takes a lot of hard work.
You
can have all the talent in the world. Like, let's say for football, you can naturally, you know, let's say you're strong and so naturally you can throw the ball far. You know, you can, you know, you can heave it. But skill, you know, I want you to throw it to this point at this exact time and have him catch it. You know, that takes skill. That takes hard work. So you have to practice. You have to practice.
That's true.
You have to practice under certain circumstances. It's raining outside. It's snowing outside. You have three guys coming at you. You have one guy holding your
Elements,
arm. And then you can still hit it. So talent is one thing. You got to be able to naturally throw the ball far. Like, if you can't do that, then, you know.
Right.
Eesh. But
if you ain't Cam, don't pretend to be Cam.
Yeah. But if you're, if you have talent, then comes the hard work and the skill. So I think that the actors that can do that, they are talented, absolutely. But at the same time, they have skill. They work hard at what they do. They can go to those places whenever they, whenever you demand them to go there.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah.
Sounds good. Where did you grow up?
Oh, boy. I grew up in Chicago.
Stop,
really?
Not Chi-Town.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I love Chicago. Yes. I do. Yes. My mama was from Chicago.
Is she really?
She
really?
Is. Yeah. So, yeah, I love Chicago. Go ahead.
So, okay. you've been a couple
times?
I've
been to the Windy City.
Really?
Yes, I have.
I've never gone. That's one city I do want to go to that I haven't been to yet.
It's
a big city.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
So, and when did you move out here?
Oh, I've been out here since maybe 2008, 2009. But I didn't come from Chicago. I came to New York because I went
to really?
Yeah, I went to
college. So let's find out what happened to you in Chicago first. Okay. So you went to high school there.
Yes.
What did you decide after high school? What was going to happen with you?
I got into acting in high school. I got into acting when I was, I believe, a junior in high school. Started doing high school plays. Then I got an agent and I started doing commercials. And I was just like, this really makes me happy. It's better than anything I've ever did. I played basketball, I played soccer, I played tennis, and they were fun. It was exciting to be out there, but I didn't get the joy that I felt. And it's just one of those things, and I think everybody has something that makes them happy. Maybe they don't do it professionally, maybe they kind of gave up on it, or maybe they are still doing it professionally and still pursuing it, but everyone has that one thing.
Right.
You know, maybe it's your kids or something that makes you happy.
Right.
You know, when
right.
you're there, you know, you're happy.
That's true.
And acting did that for me.
Yeah.
And so I got into acting in high school, did a couple commercials. I did one play at Steppenwolf, and then I moved to New York, and I went to college. I went to New York Academy for Dramatic Arts.
So you actually pursued what you wanted to do. I mean, it's not like, did your family support you, or did they say get a real job?
there was a little bit of both.
I'm going to tell you what, though. I mean, look, I moved here, too. It takes guts to be able to do that. So I understand that family
really
struggle,
does,
but
yeah.
it really takes guts to say, this is what I love, and I'm going to go put my energy into it because I believe in me.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people don't really believe in themselves, where they have to stay in that safety net. 9-to-5 net, and you know, there you go saying, look, forget it, and look at you now, look at how good you're doing.
Awesome. I mean, it's a long road. It didn't happen very
overnight,
easy.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
God.
Well, that's what you're here for, to tell us a story, you know. So, but for those of you just joining us, we're talking to actor Phil Atkins. You're going to be in the movie The Summoning.
Yes.
Releasing this month.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about The Summoning.
Okay.
What's that about?
It comes out January 10th. It's going to be on iTunes, Netflix, Hulu, DirecTV, Google Play, Amazon, Time Warner, VOD. All the platforms.
Right.
And pretty much it's a horror film, and it's about a young girl. She's a law student. She's living in a house, and she's experiencing a lot of paranormal activity while she's in the house.
Wow.
And so she's trying to figure out, like, yo, what is going on?
Right.
You know,
uh-huh.
So she starts working with a detective to try to figure out what's going on in the house, and then they stumble upon an unsolved murder. And so they both pretty much team up to try to solve this murder, what happened, and find out who the culprits are who did this.
Wow, yeah. what a cool idea.
Look,
I like that.
I told him earlier, I watched those Travel Channel, like Ghost Paranormal, everything. Like, if you don't think January 13th, I'm not watching this, y'all are crazy. Like, I will be, what time does it come out? 8 o'clock? I'll be there.
Yeah, we
have Friday the 13th this month.
I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm so excited about this.
That's
so
funny.
Did you guys experience any paranormal activity on set?
I didn't, but
did anybody?
There was, you know what, we shot at a I guess it was a sugar factory in Sugarland, Texas. It was the police station. I'm sorry. There was a police station in Richmond, Texas that we shot at, and it was actually haunted. That's what we were told.
That's what you were told.
Nice.
That's what
we were
you
told.
Didn't experience anything, though.
They were like,
you know why?
Character.
Because that shit doesn't exist.
Yeah. And I don't think they come out during the day. We didn't shoot at night. We shot at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So I don't think if they're ghosts, if they exist, that they're going to be there at 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, no, they're probably sleeping. Yeah, I think they sleep during the day because, like, you can't not, you know, you got to rest sometime.
And they always get you, like, when you're alone, one, or when it's, like, really, really late at night. Like, they don't come out during the day.
No, huh?
It's got to be, like, a rule or something.
Yeah, well, maybe they're vampire ghosts or something. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm a ghost, I'm going to break the rules. I'm going to come out during the day and just scare people because they don't expect it. You know what I mean? It's even better. They don't expect it.
Oh, wow. And it's always certain people that experience this. I don't know why I never have. Anybody that I know never experienced anything like this, ghosts and stuff. So
really?
I don't know. Yeah. Have you experienced that stuff?
I worked in a mortuary, Sam.
That's true.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? I mean, so you experienced
that? I didn't experience like a ghost situation, but I will tell you that I had a body come in one time. And I was embalming another lady, and there were about six back there, and I was fine. Like, I had coffee. I was watching Jerry Springer, because we only had Channel 3. It wasn't because I was watching it. It was because, like, that was all we got. You know, that was the time slot for Jerry, and I was in it. For some reason, like, two people were fighting over some country dude, and I was watching it. But then they brought this body in. And for some reason, I didn't feel good. Like, it's not that I felt bad physically. I just was like, ugh. You know what I mean? It just felt denser in the room. I didn't like it. So I took the person to the crematory, did what I needed to do. I came back, and my friend was like, hey, that body you just took to the crematory, that guy lived up the road from me. What just happened was the police station busted his house for an underground child porn ring, which is terrible. He was running it. Yeah. And he actually went to go kill himself, so he drove himself into another car. And I was just like, I felt so weird. I told her, I was like, I felt so weird around. I was like, there was something I just didn't like about that. She was like, he was such a nice guy too. His wife is a doctor. And, you know, it's just like, everyone is so shocked. And I was like, you're kidding me. So, but that's like, I mean, I don't think it was, he was like, you know what I mean? But I felt weird.
You felt the presence or something, huh?
No, I've never had any run-ins with ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, you know.
Because it doesn't exist. That's why.
Well, no, I believe that I believe in the soul. I believe there are souls out there and stuff. I don't believe they necessarily interact with people here in the physical world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what do I know, right? I mean, everybody believes their own shit because none of this stuff exists. So we can't prove it anyway. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, so going back to the summoning, when did this shoot? Was that in 2016, last year?
Yeah, June of 2016, early June 2016.
Where did you shoot it again?
We shot it in Texas. We were in Houston, Richmond, and Sugar Land, Texas.
I see. It happens in like different places, the story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It all takes place in Texas, but I'm not sure if they label it as this is Houston, this is Sugar Land, this is Richmond, but it all takes place in Texas.
But it is a Texan-themed movie. Yes. So let me ask you a question. Yes. Your character, tell me about your character as much as you can without killing out my Friday, because I'm going to be watching this,
okay? Well, my character is Clayton Ward, and he's actually...
Clayton. I love the name Clayton.
You know, that's such a good Southern
Thank
name.
You very much. You go ahead, Clay.
And Clayton is he's a young attorney. He's the guy that actually is killed.
I'm so sorry, Clayton. I'm sorry.
It happens.
Well, it happens, exactly. Yeah.
So were you?
Well, don't give away the movie though. But
okay.
But but do you have a considerable role in it?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You do.
There
you go.
I mean, I feel like since there's some if he's the dead one, he must be the haunting one too. You must be the one jumping around in that house. You need to settle down, Clayton. I liked your name till 5 minutes ago.
No, but he's a good ghost. He's not an evil ghost. Like, she thinks that he's haunting
her. He's ominous, but he wants to be
he's
told.
Trying, yeah, he's trying to help her solve his murder. Because
so he's using her to help.
He's attempting because the house is... What initially happens is that the house is owned by a big real estate mogul.
Mm-hmm.
He owns a group of houses. And what he does is he buys this land dirt cheap. And the land... is their burial grounds, their Native American burial grounds, and their
I'm
slave,
Native American, so I'm not
and,
with that.
Yeah, and slave and former slave burial grounds. So he buys this land and he builds these homes on top of the
sacred
this land.
Consecrated land.
And he gets caught by Clayton. And because Clayton is a young attorney, and with youth comes in experience, and so Clayton pretty much he finds out what he's doing and he confronts him.
Approaches him.
Yeah. So once, you know, the jig is up, I'm confronted, so he decides to kill Clayton. So he has his son pretty much kill Clayton.
Whoa. Okay.
Oh, so he has a son do it. He's not even brave enough to do it himself.
He's not, you know, like a young guy.
Wow.
He's he's old, you know, he's kind of, well, he's not old, old.
That poor
old
girl in that house. Yeah, you're like, so, but you see, you're a ghost. You can't do anything. Well, all I got's rattling pans, girl. You know? Like, yeah, I can't, what you want me to do? All I got's creepy noises.
You know
what
I mean? There you go.
That's all my bag of tricks. Yeah, yeah, like, so I'm not, yeah, I didn't know it was your grandmama's vase. I was just trying to say hi. Like, I'm real sorry about it. I'll glue it back together later.
Yeah. Well, this is cool. So, we'll find out how you got into the movie and everything as we go back to how you came to LA in the first place. Okay. So you were in New York.
Yes.
You went to school there.
Yes.
Did you start finding gigs and stuff there as well?
Not right away. I struggled for a long time. It's one thing that I've learned in the industry is that, and I'm still really learning it, is that if you want something done best, you're going to have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't wait for other people to do things for you. You can't wait
there
for
you
people.
Go. It doesn't mm-hmm. come to you,
true.
Right?
Yeah. You don't know that when you're young. You're expecting, like, it's just, you see all these glamorous stories. You see these people in these magazines. You go to these movie premieres and red carpets. And you see the good side of it. You see the beautiful side of it. But you don't see the work that's involved to get to that level. You don't see the struggling. And so you think that it's easy. And one thing that my dad says is that nothing good is ever easy.
Mm.
And it's not easy. And a lot of agents aren't as good as they say that they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
And so if you want things done right, you have to do it yourself. And so for me, I struggled for a very long time out of school. I had a couple agents back in New York, and they didn't do anything for me except recommend me to different acting classes.
Wow.
But a lot of the work that I got, a lot of the connections that I got on my own.
Yeah.
And it really took me a long time to do that. Because a lot of the times when you're an actor, you're just sitting there and you're, I mean, you do everything. You go to workshops, you read books, you go to class. But you're sitting there and you're kind of blaming your agent or blaming your representative that, oh, I'm not going out. I'm not getting out enough, this, that, and the other. And you're trying to solve this problem. And I decided to just start producing things on my own, start trying to getting auditions on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just talk to other actors. Some of them knew producers, some of them didn't. And the ones that did, I was able to network with their friends that were producers, and I was able to get auditions that way. There are a lot of other outlets as well, websites that you can go to where you can actually get auditions to, Actors Access and things like that. So I just pretty much started hustling and getting my own work.
Yeah,
good. No, that's
yeah. There you go. You got to have a certain work ethic.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You got to want to be out there, and it's a good thing that you realized if you don't do it, nobody's going to do it for you.
Yeah, I feel like too. Like agents are like entrepreneurs out there. Everybody would be throwing that. That's the most overused word in the English language. You know what I mean? Like I'm an agent. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, some of them are. It's
like a secret agent.
Yeah, I mean it's rough because the really really good ones. It's really hard to get in there unless you have any serious regular TV credits or you've been in a lot of big blockbuster movies, because a lot of them, they want to pick up the phone, they want to be able to say your name, and then it's yes or no. Can Tom Cruise audition for this role? Oh, yeah. He's in, you know.
Yeah. Let me clear my schedule.
Yeah, can Will Smith, you don't even have to finish the schedule.
What day is good for him to meet me?
Yeah. It seems just like that.
It is.
If you don't have those credits, if you don't have that name, that notoriety, mm-hmm. then a lot of them, they're not really going to look at you. They're not going to really pay attention. Or let's say you know someone, they'll take you as a favor to that person, but it'll be really difficult for you to get auditions, to get interviews.
Right.
It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to, for sure.
I think that's true, though. I've seen several movies where, like, you know, we go back and we look at, like, the Ray Charles movie, right? Mm. And it's a different set, but it's still like, an artist's form, right? And we see his struggle from childhood to when he became famous, you know what I mean? And all the things he had to go through, we really don't see that struggle. You're right. The same struggle you were talking about earlier, you're right. And the hustling that you're doing, you know, it's hard until you get there and you're like, wow, how did he get that role? Because he busted his tail to get there. That's how.
That's exactly right. And it's like that in everything in life, you know what I mean? Because in the entertainment industry, especially, because there's so many people fighting for so many few gigs.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the thing. There's not a lot there's not enough work for everybody, you know?
Right, right.
So people come here, many of them think, oh, I'm a great actor. I took acting back east, whatever. They come here and they realize that, wow, you know, I'm just one out of a million people trying to do the same thing.
Exactly. No, that's one of those things. Yeah, when people move here, they think it's the city of dreams. And then they realize, you know, they have to make the right connections and they have to do the right things just to be able to get to the right people. Because a lot of people are promise makers out here.
Yeah, you have to do the footwork, man. Yeah. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
The only thing you can promise is that you got yourself and you have to work real hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you need to get you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you got busy in New York, and then at what point did you decide to move here?
I did a film called Lucens. It was an independent film. It was a low-budget feature film, and I had a manager at the time. And what happened was Lucens went to an International Philadelphia Film Festival, and I don't know if it won or not. I'm not sure because I didn't go. But
right.
My manager was like, you know what? Would you ever consider moving to L.A.? And I said, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Absolutely.
Man?
You know, I knew, even a long time before I did that film, I knew that if you're going to have a chance at having longevity, if you're going to have a career, you have to go to L.A.
Right.
You're like, I'm checking flights right now. Yeah. What time you need me to be there?
Yeah. I mean, there are films or TV shows that are shot all over the country. That's something that's very common. But they're the most TV shows are in L.A. You know, the most films
Absolutely.
Are done in L.A. And so I knew a long time ago that I had to get here. I just didn't know how I was going to do it.
Right.
And so she asked me if I wanted to move to L.A. I said, yeah, absolutely. And what happened was she said that they were going to set up an L.A. office. And they wanted me to get out here first, but they were going to set up an L.A. office. They had been planning this for months and months and months. And once they set up the L.A. office, that they would work with me out here.
Right.
And how did I like that? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Why would I not like that?
Sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
This just, wow, what an opportunity.
So I moved out here, and they never set up an office. They never.
No.
Surprise,
yeah.
Surprise,
but, you know,
right?
That's one of those things where it's like, thank God it got you here, though.
That's, you know, that's life, you know, back to the whole promises thing, you know, promise broken.
Right.
Yeah, they never came out here. They never set up an office. So I was out here pretty much. I had to fend for myself. I had to figure things out for myself.
There you go. Once again.
Yeah.
Once again. And so you find that your path in life is like, I have to do things on my own.
Right.
You know, but you get results, right?
I mean,
you can't work hard at something and not get results, you know, Leah?
Right. Absolutely. No, it's the thing. I mean, like, it's like working out or anything else. I mean, people want to go to the gym, right, because it's January 1st and they don't want to eat right, too. Well, then what's the point?
Why
are you wasting my time and your time, too?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to do everything that's involved with it. So let me ask you a question. What was the first when you realized they weren't going to have an office? What was step one? What did you do? What was disaster control for you?
Because
I'm sure it felt pretty disastrous.
You know, you get that. It's like a electrical shock that goes down your spine. I don't know if you ever get that when you're really mad.
All the time.
Yeah. It is
all
like,
the time.
You know, so you get really mad.
What time is it? 10 o'clock. I had it three times already.
Yeah. And you just pretty much you sit down. You try to figure things out. Okay, I was able to get an agent and a manager there. I know the process that it takes to get an agent and a manager. So you just pretty much start that process again. You start over from square one. You go back to the headshots. You go back to I don't think email was that big at that time, but people did do email submissions. I mean, that's all that's done nowadays. It's everything.
Really?
Everything's
email.
Internet. Everything's internet.
Right.
Right.
But I went back through that process and I got an agent. It's about maybe six months later, and he didn't do anything for me either.
Whoa.
So here we go.
So this town is full of those people, right? A lot of them.
I think that's life. You know, a lot of people, you know, back to the promises thing. A lot of people make promises or they say that they know this person and that person and they really don't, or they do know them, but their relationship with them is not as good as they make that relationship seem like it
that's
is.
True, right?
So they really can't do anything for
you.
But I think that's every business. That's every business. But it's especially very common in the acting world.
Yeah.
But he referred me to an acting class, which was a wonderful acting class. It was Aaron Spizer, who's a phenomenal teacher. He's very detailed. Very focused, very driven, and I learned a lot from him. But he referred me to him, so I went to Aaron Spizer. But other than that, nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like that's happened to a lot of people I know. They end up having things or promising, then all of a sudden it drops off or it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, one day, a Netflix film pops up the summoning.
You get lucky. I think
lucky God.
If you keep going, I think that's more than half of the battle. You just have to show up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to show up and you have to be, you know, once you show up, you got to be good.
Exactly. Right. And you know what? A lot of people do not show up. And that really pisses me off sometimes.
Yeah,
you
know?
Yeah. Because I see that every day in this business and I don't understand people. How do you not show up or how do you arrive late for anything? You know? And that's my pet peeve,
hey.
You know?
It's mine too. You see how I'm here 30 minutes early.
You're always here, Lee. I mean, you're so reliable, and Phil seems to be like the same kind
the
of
same
person.
Same kind of guy.
You seem to have that integrity, whereas you know what it takes to get there. Yeah. You know,
I think I do.
Yeah,
I make mistakes all the time.
Well, don't we all?
I keep going though. You gotta, you know, you're gonna get knocked down. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna. Make bad decisions. I think good experience comes from experience, and that experience is part of comes from bad experience, you know, making
Most
bad
definitely.
Choices.
Right.
And so you try to learn from them and you try not to make the same mistake over and over again. Because the first time it's a mistake, the second time and third time,
That's a choice.
It's you. It's your fault.
You're right. Yeah. That's one of my biggest pet peeves too, is when people complain to me about something, then they don't change it or then they get the same result. And I just look at them like they're crazy. I literally will just stop my day and be like, why though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. I can completely understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you explained this to me. I was supposed to meet someone who's always late, right?
Right.
Someone who's always late. And they were. I was supposed to meet with them at 4:30 on Monday, right?
Mm. Uh-huh.
You know what time they arrived here?
8:45 p.m.
Why were you still here?
I was still here, but because I'm still here working.
Okay, that's fair. That part's fair.
Right?
Okay.
But I mean, that's the type of people I deal with.
Uh-uh.
You know, and it never changes with that person.
My dad told me
it's always the same.
The only thing that you have is your word, and if you break your word and who you are, then you're done.
Right?
Yeah.
And it takes like a second to break your word. And break trust, but it takes forever to build it.
Yes, ever and ever again.
Right.
I mean,
and people don't understand that, you know, and you got to be very careful in what you say, what you do, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. I mean, because look, the thing is the one thing that I have to say is that your internal moral compass speaks volumes about you. The things you do in private, I don't care who you want to pretend like you are, who you are in private or what you try to cover up. That's the part about you that you need to work on. You know what I mean? Like, if you have to cover something up or lie about it, then you need to work on you. Jesus ain't done with you yet, boo-boo. You know what I mean? Like, y'all better go ahead and mega church stomp in here. I mean.
Yeah, there you go. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so Phil Atkins, the movie is The Summoning.
Yes.
You guys are going to be able to watch it starting this month. Do you know when?
January 10th.
Through Gravitas Ventures.
Yes.
Now, so I guess distribution now is, that's how it's done, right? Because not every movie can get into the theaters.
Yeah, it's...
So you figure this is, now we have a whole new platform to showcase our stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And that's empowering in many ways because, I mean, it's happened in music, it happened in publishing, in book publishing, and in movie production as well, you know, whereas you can feature your film, have people actually see it where they couldn't see it in a theater.
I'm going to tell you what, Sam, I was telling him this earlier. I truly believe, well, I know this for a fact, but the television's going to be obsolete soon, just like the house phone is, and Netflix is going to be having channels and things like that.
Right.
I'm
going
to tell you what, people of my generation, we don't go to the movie theater anymore. We're tired. We're in bed, snuggling. We're Netflix and chilling. That's a whole thing
now.
Right? We watching his movies. We don't give a damn about what happens in the theater. Like, go to the theater for what? Because you can't do anything there, but I have popcorn at my house. Forget it. And a mattress. Forget it.
Like, that's true,
comfortable.
I wonder if sales are down on movie tickets and stuff. I don't know, you know, because it seems like some movies are doing better than ever, you know.
I see a lot of kids' movies happening more. Y'all see that? Y'all see these kids' movies? Because I think it's a kid thing to do. Like, take your children to the movies. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or like big action, because like you can hear all the sounds and stuff. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah. I also think in children movies are a great investment because they live on forever, you know. You get new generations of children all the time.
Oh, my God. I'm still watching
Pocahontas. Yeah, yeah, longevity of Snow White and
I don't have to. I have two little girls. Do you know how many times I have to hear Let It Go and Beauty and the Beast and
really,
everything else?
Yeah.
Like, it's in my dreams.
I know.
I mean, Lord.
I know, and that's the thing, you know, and then they're going to have kids and they'll play that and all that, so... So that's why I think children movies are a good investment. You know, they last a long time.
Absolutely.
Some movies become like irrelevant after a while, you know.
Cinderella is what, made in the 50s? Or like the early
probably,
40s or
yeah.
20s, something like that? Yeah, and
yeah,
I watched
yeah,
it. So, I mean, yeah, you're right.
Early on, maybe 30s, 40s?
Yeah, it was real early.
Yeah.
It was wow.
Yeah, some movies were done a long time ago. Yeah.
It was like released same time Gone with the Wind was, you know what I mean? Like around that time.
Wow, that's really, like, and it's lasted, that popularity is
exactly.
Yeah, you see, because, yeah, and look at all the Disney films, and look at the Pixar films and everything. I mean, they're still as popular as ever, you know?
Completely.
And those are like, if you notice, like adult-oriented movies, like for us and stuff, would be like R-rated movies or even PG are... You know, it's movies you watch once and that's it. You know, but kids will watch a movie a million times, so they sell it.
Sometimes they sequel the hell out of you. You know what I mean? They sequel you and they just change the location. And you're like, why am I on Fast and Furious 28? I don't. I don't even. I stopped caring after one.
Exactly. But I don't know. Some people love that stuff. Who knows? You know. Well, so now, so you guys filmed on location, right? Was it a big cast?
No, it was a decent sized cast. I wouldn't say it was a huge cast, but it's Layla Almas, myself, Hami Zavallos, Razak Adolti, and Eric Roberts.
That sounds was hilarious. Cool. So all of those names, and you hear Eric Roberts. Like, you have all those exotic names,
first.
And then poor Eric Roberts at the end. I'm sorry, Eric.
Yeah. Well, but today the star is actor Phil Atkins. On our show, you're the star of the film,
very
okay?
Much.
Absolutely.
Eric Roberts or not, today you're the star. And, you know, he said that, I mean, you said this is your first, like, full feature show and everything on the radio and stuff. And trust me, it's all downhill from here, man.
I know.
You better enjoy this today for every moment you have.
This is awesome.
Because not everybody's as fun as we are, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, Sam doesn't mean to toot his own horn, but whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody has to, you know?
Somebody got to tell Sam, Sam's great. So Sam stand in the mirror and be like, I'm great.
No, Sam is wonderful, man.
You have to be great.
That's why I keep coming back.
Don't you have to tell yourself, thank you. Don't you have to tell yourself you're the best, though? I mean,
absolutely.
You have to.
You have to.
If you don't, you got to be your biggest fan.
Text me, I'm amazing. I'll just text myself, like, you're amazing. Boop, pops up, you're amazing. Aren't I just? You know what I mean? So absolutely, you have to pat yourself on the back. You can't be too hard on yourself.
No, you've got to. And I think if you don't overdo it, then it shows confidence and you're able to really pursue what it is that you want to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and you've got to have that confidence. You've got to be able to look at yourself objectively and say, okay, this is what I need to fix. This is where I'm good at. This is what I'm going to focus on and so forth, you know. So
absolutely. Fine tune and hone down on those skills and figure it out.
There you go.
Become
a
proficient at it. Yeah. So what else is going on in your world right now? Because I know you've wrapped this and you're promoting this, but do you have anything else exciting happening right now?
Yes, I'm working on a pilot right now that's going to be presented to Amazon later on this month. It's called Ventura Boulevard. It's a comedy.
Nice.
It's about two cops.
That's a gear switch.
Yeah.
But you're still a cop. Look at her. You're still around cops. Look at you.
And Ventura Boulevard, for those of you who don't know, is the main street in the San Fernando Valley, right? Is that the one you guys talking about?
Or a Tom Petty song.
And
whatever.
It's exactly a mile from where we are. So there you go. Go ahead.
But it's a comedy. It's about one veteran cop and one rookie cop. And they're pretty much just struggling to get along. The veteran cop, he's done it all. He's seen it all. He's been through it all. The rookie cops say nothing, done nothing, been through nothing.
And if he's a veteran cop in L.A., he has seen it all through the 90s. Y'all remember all those riots and everything? Like, everything that's going on? So if he's a veteran cop, he's not playing when he says he's seen everything.
Yeah, he's got kind of a short fuse.
Really?
Yeah. And he pretty much has to take this rookie who's a novice. And train him to be, you know, skilled, train him to be as good as he is.
Right.
And there are a lot of funny moments in it. It's
really?
Very funny. So we're.
And are you the rookie cop?
Yes, I am.
I was wondering. Yeah. I was wondering.
You can tell.
I was like, Garrett,
can you really?
You really can.
Well, because you don't look like the 60-year-old veteran.
Yeah.
You know,
I can also see
saying.
You in that
mean,
role, too.
Yeah. Mean,
in real life, too?
No, he was a really cool guy. He's actually... He was actually
just good at being mean on camera.
Yeah, yeah. He could totally, like, his personality.
Right.
He could have been the rookie cop because he's always laughing. He's always cracking jokes. He's always
cutting up.
Yeah, he's always like buddy-buddy, that buddy-buddy energy, you know. So he could have totally played the rookie cop, but like his face, you know, and his demeanor, the way he sits.
He just does it real well.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah, he's,
you know,
like,
I could never, like, it takes a straight face in something would be the hardest thing for me. Because, like, I'm exactly. real good at a straight face when I need one. But, like, if I had my friends on set and I know we weren't being serious, I wasn't saying something with a straight face, it would take me, it would take all of God inside of me, two Jesuses, to make me not laugh. And it would take so much because I can't sit across from a friend and look at him like that and deliver a line and just be mean to him and not laugh.
Yes, you could. You could do
I
it.
Couldn't do it. Unless I didn't like him, then I could.
That's awesome. Let's also give credit to the people behind the scenes. Who directed the film?
Oh, yes. Alberto Rodriguez.
Alberto Rodriguez.
Alberto Rodriguez. Yeah, okay. He was a phenomenal director. He let us play. You know, there are a lot of directors that once you get on set, they want things. They have an idea of what they want. They want things done their way specific. There's really no room or any kind of freedom. But he was very open. He was very uninhibited. He let us play. He's like, you guys, you do your thing, and if it's too much, you know, I'll bring you down, but let's see what you got.
Wow.
And he was, yeah,
I like
he was,
that.
He was really, really, really cool.
I like
really
that. Cool.
It's very nice. So it's a nice environment. I can see why you'd want to be in acting. I mean, it's once you do it, I know it's hard work, but there's also a lot of rewards to it.
Yeah, there are a lot of rewards. You know, you get to do what you love. You get to see yourself up on that stage, up on the screen or on the stage, whatever, whichever it is you like to do, and it's your work. It's your creation. You're kind of like an inventor, and
right.
it's wonderful. I mean, there are definitely certain environments. It also depends on who you work with, because there are people that won't let you express yourself. They kind of like, you know, it's my production. This is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
Kanye.
Don't really, yeah,
real Kanye.
You know,
real easy with it.
Yeah, they won't let you express your creativity. So they kind of, you're there for them. You're not there for you and your craft.
Right.
So when you get around those people, you know, it's, well, hey, you signed on to do the job. They're paying you. They're the boss. So looking at it objectively, you're working for them. You're an employee.
Right.
You kind of have to do what your employer wants or you're gone.
Right.
But when you get around the other kind that, you know, just do whatever you want. And if it's too much, I'll tell you to bring it down. You know, the ones that really let you be you artistically.
Right.
And when you're in those situations, those are the situations that are gold.
That's really
you
smart,
know?
Though.
It's like being on this radio show. You know, like if I came in here, like, well, you can only say this.
Yeah.
You sit there. You have to sit that. You have to sit that way. You can't cross your legs. It's going to be like, well.
Very restrictive, right?
Yeah. Okay. You know, you
it's
go through it.
Much.
But, you know, like here, I'm relaxed. I can sit how I want. I have my water. We're joking. We're laughing. I mean, it's gold, man. It's wonderful.
It's
awesome.
The way to be. Not to mention, like, the one thing that I know for a fact is, like, if you had 20 people who experienced something like 9/11, you're going to get 20 different stories.
Yeah.
Because, and if you read a script, you may read it emotionally one way, then the person who wrote it, then the director did.
Yeah.
So it's like to see your interpretation of what you read and be able to give it, it may be better than what I had in my head. You know what I mean?
Yes, very
so
much
so.
So
it's very smart of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then there are those others that, no, I don't care how you interpret it. It's you're here to do it through my interpretation.
Look
so
at
it's
Jesus.
Just, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's just, it all depends on who you're working with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. You have to be fortunate, I think, sometimes at least, to be working with good people.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, that's
sometimes
huge.
You're just stuck with assholes. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and nobody wants
line.
That.
It happens,
nobody wants
yeah.
that. It's so true, though.
Yeah.
I have one question
yes.
for you, though. I know now that you've done the Netflix movie and you built some credibility and you're doing great and you're successful, is your mama like, that's my baby? You know
God,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's
I bet she is,
you know,
back in Chicago.
Like my Facebook page, right? Whenever, like, I've been doing some interviews on different tabloids, like Flickering Myth.
Nice.
What was the other one? JoeBlow.com and DreadCentral.com. And so I did some interviews with these tabloids. And then after the interview's done, I'll go to the website, I'll print the link, and I'll put the link on my Facebook page. And so it'll show up on my Facebook page. The first person to say something, and it's, you know, it's
your mama.
Yeah,
I want my mama on social media.
Yeah, but it's
for that reason right
it's
there.
Like extravagant, you know. It's like this, that's my baby, my that boy, my baby. And it's kind of like, yeah, I get it. Like, you know, I love
She's
the support.
Proud.
Yes, yes. I love the support. I appreciate the support. But, you know, tone
Mama,
it down.
Mama, let somebody else talk.
Tone it down.
Exactly. It down. It's too loud.
No. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yes.
Mama, just send me a text for that next
yes,
time.
Yes,
text me that.
You cannot believe how many times I've said that.
No, like, it's because I said the same thing to my mom. I'm like, Mama, that's stuff you can text me. You're going to get blocked.
Yeah.
You're going to get blocked.
See,
you're going to get
I can't say that. I'll just say, please tone it down or else, Mom.
Oh, okay. See, I'm a girl. It's different. With your like baby, like your mama's a little boy, you can't say it to your mama. Like, I couldn't say it to my daddy either.
Yeah.
My mama, I tell her how it is. I'm like,
Well,
like
cool. Anyway, folks, we're out of time. How can people find you, find out more about you, social media, anything like that?
My social media page is Facebook.com/PhilIan1. My Twitter page is Twitter.com/PhilAtkins91.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And your do you tweet and post
all
and all
time.
These things?
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes.
I don't know where people find time to do that, but we need to
usually
do that sometimes.
Usually when I'm walking or doing cardio.
I know, but you do like one a day or something, right?
Yeah,
some people are on this
tweeter.
All the time. So, all right. Well, Phil Atkins, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
You're a lot of fun. Of course, much more success to you.
Thank you very much.
Come back when you're a big star and we are the little minions here.
No.
And you can, don't forget us.
And we'll cross our legs and say how you want us to and do it how you want us to.
No, feel free, be yourself.
You can direct us.
All right. Well, Aliyah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
As always, thank you everybody listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.